is a live presentation of CITR News.
CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast.
Now, here's your host, Marie Bernard.
Good evening. In the news this week, Vancouver teachers won't stand for school shutdowns, and BC Hydro tells us what went wrong this summer. We'll have all this, plus sports and your weather forecast, coming up this half hour right here on News 101. But first, with the latest in campus news from the UBC, our largest student newspaper, here are reporters Stephanie Findlay and Justin McElroy.
Hello, and welcome to the UBC Front Page Headlines. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Stephanie Findlay.
Here's what happened on campus last week. Despite increasing options for commuters to get to UBC, there has been, quote, more demand for transit than we've been able to fill, said TransLink spokesperson Ken Hardy. The new changes include the new 33 bus route, as well as increased service on UBC routes. Demand for the buses has increased principally because of the introduction of the UPass to other post-secondary institutions in Vancouver. AMS VP External Stephanie Ratchin assured our reporters that the AMS is planning to undertake a comprehensive review of services so students can give feedback to TransLink.
After a tumultuous year in 2007, Sprouts, the volunteer-run cafe serving organic food in the basement of the sub, has seen increased business. Last January, they were $40,000 in debt and most of their workers were paid. Now, Martin Gunn says the president of Sprouts says that the remaining debt will be paid off this April, and all of the workers are volunteers.
Last Friday, on a bright blue day at the end of the school week, Farm Aid 2008 happened. Nearly 1,000 people took part in the afternoon-long festival, where participants danced, listened to music, ate food, drank beer, and bought fresh farm produce. However, development plans still hang ominously over the farm's future. Caretaker Andrew Rushmere is concerned that Stephen Owen's claim that a decision will not likely happen for 10 years is meant to simply assuage activist concerns. In the upcoming weeks, the UBC Farm hopes to raise awareness and gather people to turn out at the Vancouver Campus Plan consultation events. These take place from October 16th to 22nd in the sub. Quote, UBC Farm isn't about feeding campus, said Andrew Rushmere. In the midst of the food crisis and peak oil, it's about teaching a sustainable food system.
The Right Honorable Kim Campbell shared her views of the past, present, and future last Friday afternoon, speaking about her political career, the Canadian government, and Sarah Palin. The UBC Alumni Association held a Q&A with the former Prime Minister for nearly a full house in the Victoria Learning Commons in the Irving K. Barber Learning Center. Campbell talked about material that was familiar to her, women in politics. Addressing the topic du jour, VP Republican nominee Sarah Palin, she said, quote, she's not a conservative, she's a right-wing extremist, to cheers and laughs from the crowd. She also noted that sometimes female politicians from conservative parties have a better chance of advancing to higher government-level positions, saying, quote, sometimes women from conservative parties get a better chance because they are seen as less challenging to the status quo of gender relations.
With the recent change in eligibility for the UPass, senior medical students have been granted the option to opt into AMS fees, allowing them access to the UPass. Under the current program, the UPass gives eligible students attending UBC, SFU, and Langara College a discounted rate on TransLink public services in all zones. Medical students can now pay $95 a semester instead of the usual $136 paid each month for a regular three-zone pass. With senior medical students working in hospitals ranging from the North Shore to the Fraser Health region, allowing the medical students to opt into AMS fees would grant them access to the UPass, enabling them to commute affordably across the Lower Mainland. Eligible students who opt into the program will be able to use their passes in mid-September. Quote, I believe I speak for all medical students at UBC when I say we are relieved to have access to affordable, sustainable transport through the UPass, and we are grateful to the AMS for their support of the student group, Stringer said, a representative.
The AMS Art Gallery is back in a big way. After many years of being a low priority of the AMS, the Art Gallery has been refurbished with the renovation of the gallery, a new catalog, and a commitment to advertising it throughout Vancouver. Billy Smith, the administrator of the gallery, notes that, quote, the gallery has lost its garage-type look. And Sabrina Wong, one of the curators, noticed that there are now all types of people flowing through the doors, rather than just art students. The renovations this summer included buffing the floor and giving the gallery a more professional look, and $3,500 for wood shelving. Tristan Markle, VP Administration of the AMS, said it was important to promote the gallery. Quote, we have an art gallery collection of $2 to $3 million, and very few people knew about it, conceding that in the past, the AMS had not done a proper job of promoting it.
UBC ranked number one in the nation on athletics, according to a presentation last week in the AMS council meeting. Unfortunately, the category we lead in is having the highest athletic fee for any school that also charges for gym memberships. This year, students were charged with a mandatory athletic and recreation fee of $207. And although the name and its increase suggest free student access to sport facilities, the fee only covers drop-in sports and limited access to the aquatic center. It does not cover gym membership to the Bird Coop, intramurals, sporting events, and equipment or field rentals. And those extra fees are pricey. $248 for a Bird Coop membership for 8 months, $60 for a Storm the Wall team, more for intramurals. A UBC student who has a Bird Coop membership, joins an intramural each semester, and does Storm the Wall will pay a total of $497 in total fees this year. A non-UBC student will pay $364.
And finally, the story of last week on campus was Liberal leader Stefan Dion visiting UBC for a town hall meeting with students. Nearly 800 UBC students packed Hebb Theater to hear the Liberal leader answer questions from the audience. Some humor was injected into the event when CITR personality Nardwar asked Dion to do the hip flip. When Dion refused, UB students booed the decision and chanted hip flip en masse in an attempt to get the Liberal leader to change his mind. But Dion, with help from former BC Premier Ujjal Dosanjh, refused to participate. The event ended with the entire crowd singing O Canada, and then Dion left to meet with young Liberals at Mahoney & Sons.
And that's what happened on campus this past week. For Justin McElroy, I'm Stephanie Finley. So long.
And thanks to the UBC for that report. Glenn Hasman, president of VESTA, the Vancouver Elementary School Teachers Association, says that the city's elementary teachers want Vancouver Public Schools to stay open during the 2010 Olympic Games. He says the Vancouver School Board is just considering whether or not to close schools, but elementary teachers decided to reject any proposal that would close down the schools. The VESTA president says their main concern is the welfare of families and students in inner city schools, who may have few options during those 2 weeks if schools do close. Mr. Hasman says that it's not realistic or fair to expect families to scramble to find childcare. Elementary teachers recognize that transportation in and out of the city will be difficult during those 2 weeks, but it should be the public's expectation that VANOC and the city have plans to deal with that concern. VESTA represents the 2,500 elementary teachers and 200 adult educators in Vancouver Public Schools. Now with a look at more local and provincial news, here is News 101 reporter Sarah Riplinger.
Today, BC Hydro released its report on this summer's massive downtown power outage. They now know what caused it and hopefully what will prevent another one. The utility company plans to follow a number of recommendations from the report done on the huge blackout that hit downtown on July 14th. Hydro plans to hire a fire marshal to make sure it doesn't happen again. The report says the blackout was triggered by the failure of a connector that was only 3 years old, yet exploded and caught fire. Usually they last at least 30 years. The report says connectors will be inspected more often. More effort will be put into creating fire and blast-proof barriers between vital electrical components.
And the RCMP cracked down on traffic violations on Saturday night and managed to catch a number of drivers who were under the influence or not wearing seatbelts. More than 20 members of the Integrated Road Safety Units and other members of the RCMP from Coquitlam and Port Coquitlam focused on seatbelt compliance and impaired driving. Over 1,000 vehicles were checked and 17 24-hour probations were issued. Two people were arrested for drunk driving and 94 people were ticketed for not wearing seatbelts. seatbelts. Constable Dave Babineau says drunk driving remains the leading cause of death in Canada, and unbelted occupants account for 40% of all traffic fatalities.
A Victoria defense lawyer is fighting to defend a heroin addict's right to health care. Lawyer Catherine Tehurst argues that the Charter of Rights of a homeless heroin addict were violated when he was arrested in 2006 in a secluded parking lot with a needle in his hand. Charged with possession of a controlled substance, the accused is pleading not guilty. His lawyer argues that his right to life and security under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms has been threatened, as his addiction was not recognized as a health issue. His lawyer argues that he was found injecting only the amount of morphine required to alleviate the sickness associated with heroin addiction, and police didn't find any other drugs in his possession that night. Ms. Tehurst claims her client's charter rights were violated as the man doesn't have access to a supervised injection site, such as Vancouver's Insight, to combat his addiction.
And the BC government's right to regulate fish farms faces a constitutional challenge this week, with a court challenge funded by Adopt a Fry campaign. Environmental activist and biologist Alexandra Morton disputes the BC government's jurisdiction over fish farming and argues that the federal government was wrong to give up its regulatory control more than 20 years ago. Morton claims that the federal government has jurisdiction over what is in the oceans, as she believes that salmon farms near BC's coastal waters are destroying the wild salmon population. The waste and parasites that escape from salmon farms enter into the ocean and threaten wild salmon fry, as well as other sea life. Morton believes that the Federal Department of Fisheries and Oceans must take the job back in order to invoke stricter regulations. Hundreds of British Columbians donated money to her cause by participating in a campaign in which individuals were able to adopt a salmon fry. It's time for a quick break. Stay tuned to CITR for more news after these public service announcements.
Hey, are you ready to head back to school in September?
For sure, but I'm worried that I won't be able to cover all my costs this year.
Have you ever done work study? I did it in the past, and it was a great experience and good money. You just need to be a Canadian citizen or a permanent resident.
And studying at UBC?
You got it. If you want to earn decent coin, pad your resume, and work on campus, work study is where the smart money's at. Just go online to Career Services and check out the listings.
That's solid advice. I'll definitely check out work study this year.
For more information on getting hired for a work-study job, visit www.students.ubc.ca/work-study.
CITR 101.9 FM, in conjunction with the Vancouver International Film Festival, present Faubourg Tremé, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans. Faubourg Tremé, also known as the Sixth Ward, is one of the oldest black neighborhoods in America. Executive producer Wynton Marsalis and directors Don Logson and Lawless Eric Ellie have fashioned a love song come documentary to the Tremé as it is known throughout New Orleans. The film recounts the history of the place, credited with giving birth to both the civil rights movement and jazz music. Faubourg Tremé, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans, screens Thursday, October 2nd at 3 o'clock p.m. and Friday, October 3rd at 8:45 p.m. at the Empire Granville 7. Presented by CITR 101.9 FM.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:16. Now with national news, here once again is Sarah Riplinger.
According to a new poll out today, a majority of Canadians do not trust the domestic food industry to police itself. 64% of Canadians trust the federal government and scientists to ensure food safety, but only 25% trust the food industry to do the same. The poll results also suggest that 8 out of 10 Canadians want the federal government to reverse a decision to cut federal food safety programs. As of April 1st, a new federal policy was put into place to allow the food industry to submit reports to food inspectors instead of having inspectors on the factory and slaughterhouse floors. According to the poll, a minority of Canadians were comfortable with the industry policing itself. 22% surveyed said that they would accept an increase in reliance on industry self-policing, while 73% said they would like to see their government invest more resources and play a more active role. The issue of food safety has been recently in the news after a nationwide listeriosis outbreak that was linked to bacterial contamination at a Maple Leafs food plant in Toronto. So far, 19 people have died from listeriosis related to that outbreak.
And in related news, the Public Health Agency of Canada is investigating a potential outbreak of Salmonella puna after 6 cases and 14 suspected cases have been reported. The 14 suspected cases of the relatively rare illness were reported in Ontario, while the 6 cases of the same genetic strain have been found in Manitoba, Quebec, and Nova Scotia. Usually about 20 cases of this Salmonella strain are reported in Canada every year. The Public Health Agency says they're working with American and provincial health authorities to identify other potential cases. The agency wants Canadians to take precautions while preparing food, such as washing hands, rinsing food, and ensuring that kitchen utensils and surfaces are properly cleaned. The precautions apply at all times, not just during outbreaks. An additional 48 cases of Salmonella have been reported in the United States. Authorities don't know the source of the outbreak.
Today, the United States Congress failed to pass a bailout bill for the nation's financial system. In reaction, the New York Stock Exchange plummeted 777 points, the largest drop ever for a single day's trading, and the Toronto Stock Exchange lost a record 840 points. It was a close vote in the U.S. House of Representatives, 205 to 228 against the bill, with many representatives citing concerns about the protecting taxpayer money, not wanting to reward, quote, fat cat bankers for irresponsibility, end quote. And in the case of Representative Jeb Hensarling of Texas, worries that a large government intervention would be a step down the slippery slope towards socialism. Many of the representatives who voted against the bill seem to be responding to the flood of calls and letters to the Capitol from angry voters concerned that taxpayer money would be sacrificed to protect the rich, when at the same time many taxpayers are losing their homes in the mortgage crisis. In Canada, the record drop in the Toronto Stock Exchange notwithstanding, Stephen Harper, speaking today, said that Canada is taking action to help the U.S. through a coordinated action led by global central banks. Though he noted as well that Canada's banking system is quite stable, although he has no immediate plans to propose changes to Canada's financial system, similar to the ones proposed in the U.S., he isn't against the idea.
It's time for another break, and when we come back, we'll update you on international news and UBC athletics. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
A beautiful day without a cloud.
The 27th Annual Vancouver International Film Festival will be held September 25th to October 10th, 2008. VIFF is among the largest film festivals in North America and is one of the largest cultural events in Canada. The broad spectrum of fiction and non-fiction films from around the world is divided into the following sections. The Ark, Elements and Animals. Dragons and Tigers, The Cinemas of East Asia. Non-fiction features. Canadian Images, Cinema of Our Time, and Spotlights on France.
Films are screened on the following 10 screens: Empire Granville 7 Cinemas, Van City Theatre at the Vancouver International Film Centre, Pacific Cinematheque, Ridge Theatre. To purchase tickets, visit the Vancouver International Film Festival Centre on Seymour. For information, check out www.viff.org or call 604-683-FILM. That's 604-683-3456.
Yes, it comes in a downward direction. It disintegrates, dissolves, melts.
Kindle!
Are you a band or musician located in Vancouver or the Lower Mainland? We're now accepting entries for Shindig 2008. All styles are welcome, whether you're a solo country artist or a 10-piece punk band.
You'll need to send us a minimum 3-song demo of original material, plus your contact information. Put everything in an envelope. Mail it or drop it off before August 8th to Shindig 2008, CITR Radio, number 233/6138, Sub Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z1, Canada.
We also love web-based submissions, such as ones via MySpace or electronic press kits. Please email shindig.08@gmail.com.
You know, as much as I hate to brag about Shindig, I must say tonight we got a Shindig for you that is so far in, it's out of sight.
Welcome back to News 101. I'm Marie Bernard, coming to you live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. Right now, it's 5:23 and time to take a look at what's happening in the world of UBC athletics. Here's Tyler Noble with Monday's edition of Thunderbird Eye on Sports.
All right, thanks very much, Marie. Well, the UBC Thunderbirds football team look to rebound from their Week 4 loss to Regina as they traveled across the Rockies to take on the Calgary Dinos on Saturday afternoon. CITR's Jeff Sargent reports.
A close battle throughout much of the game turned into a disastrous fourth quarter for the UBC Thunderbirds as they suffered their second consecutive loss, this time 24-11 at the hands of the Calgary Dinos. The Birds took to the field at McMahon Stadium hoping to forget about last week's unprecedented game-ending disaster, but things did not start well for UBC as the Thunderbirds conceded an early safety after getting the ball, having stopped the Dinos at the one-yard line. Calgary then ended the first quarter on a high as starting pivot Deke Jr. launched a 64-yard touchdown pass to Nathan Cohorn, going up 9-0. Jr. threw 3 interceptions on the afternoon, but the Thunderbirds were only able to capitalize on one of them. Alex Betts picked off an errant throw early in the second, and after a big 24-yard Mark McVay pass to Jordan Grieve, Dave Boyd rushed for the single-yard touchdown, UBC's lone major of the game as the Birds came to within 1. The score remained 9-8 in favor of the Dinos entering the fourth, and it looked like another classic Canada West finish could be in the making. But that lead didn't last long, as on Calgary's next possession, Taylor Altilio hauled in a 25-yard junior touchdown pass as the Dinos regained control of the game 16-11. Then, just under 3 minutes later, the Dinos took a commanding 23-11 lead off a Jordan Flagel 6-yard reception. UBC head coach Ted Govaya then decided to switch quarterbacks, putting backup Billy Green in McVay's place midway through the fourth.
Oh yeah, I felt good in there. It's a lot quicker than what I used to. Like practice, you don't really get the look. But when you get out here, it's a lot faster than anything else. And it started to slow down near the end, but I caught myself I was shaky a little bit at times, but it's a process, right?
While Green was largely ineffective, he made a huge 64-yard completion to Thomas Johnson late in the fourth, but it was too little too late. Head coach Govaya.
Definitely there were some lost opportunities out there, and that's disappointing. But there's little things that we're still not executing properly on offense, and we didn't today.
McVay finished the day 14 for 26 with 147 yards but no touchdowns, while Green went 5 for 13 with 102 yards. Calgary's Deke Jr. managed 250 yards through the air, going 13 for 28 with 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Scott McQuaig added to his Canada West record sack total with 1 for UBC, and Thunderbirds running back Cheng Wei was hammered with a huge tackle near the end of the second quarter. He did not return. The Thunderbirds now slip to fourth place in the Canada West standings and need a win next weekend in Saskatoon against the Huskies to get back to 500. Jeff Sargent, CITR Sports, Calgary.
And sticking with action going on in Cowtown over the weekend, triumph quickly turned to disaster for the UBC men's hockey team as they faced the Dinos for a 2-game series over the weekend. An undermanned Thunderbirds team could only dress 17 skaters on Friday night due to injury and suspension, but UBC held on for a 4-3 victory after blowing a 3-goal third period lead. Jerry Festa kept the Birds in the lead with an amazing 39 saves, but the high from Friday's win didn't last long as Saturday's rematch saw the Birds fall behind Hurley, trailing 4-1 going into the
the third. That's when the Dinos blew the game wide open, scoring twice early in the final frame to go up 6-1. UBC head coach Milan Dragicevic pulled Festa after stopping just 17 of 23 shots, with rookie Joe Rodwell taking his place. But nothing improved for the Birds as Calgary cruised to a 10-1 win, getting a pair of power play goals late in the game after John Flatters was giving a 5-minute fighting major and a game misconduct for pounding Calgary forward Jevon Desautel behind the UBC net. Coach Dragicevic on where it all went wrong.
Well, we didn't capitalize on our power plays. We had 6 straight minutes in the second period. We could have made a 4-2. You know, Butler made some great saves. And third period, first shift, turnover, blue line, come back, it's in the net. You know, it's just one of those things where everything Calgary did went their way. They got the bounces. They scored 4 goals, you know, 2 feet in front of our goaltender.
Calgary forward Torrey Wheat finished the game with 4 goals, including a natural hat trick in just over a 5-minute span in the third, while Dustin Butler picked up the win and goal. The Thunderbirds' next conference play isn't until October 17th when they play host to the Alberta Golden Bears at the brand new Thunderbird Arena. This weekend, the team heads way north to take on the University of Alaska in a pair of exhibition games. On the soccer pitch, the UBC Thunderbirds men's team picked up another 2-0 win on the road, shutting out Alberta by that score yesterday. The 6th straight win of the season for the undefeated Thunderbirds means they remain in first place in the Canada West, while the rest of the pack battles for the 3 other playoff spots up for grabs. Sunday's win follows Saturday's 2-0 win over the Saskatchewan Huskies. UBC hosts Simon Fraser for a friendly on Wednesday night, and then they take on the Victoria Vikes Saturday afternoon. As for the women, they played to a scoreless draw against the Alberta Pandas yesterday, coming into Edmonton on the heels of a shocking 2-0 loss in Saskatoon, the first time that ever happened in UBC women's soccer history. The loss and tie, coupled with Victoria's win and tie of their own, means the two West Coast teams switch spots in the standings as the Vikes have climbed into second. UBC is now third and will visit first place Manitoba on Saturday before popping into Regina on the way home Sunday. The UBC women's field hockey team was handed its first loss of the season as 3 goals in the final 8 minutes yesterday afternoon saw the Ladybirds' winning streak snapped at 5 games. With the win, the Vikes gained some valuable ground on the Birds in the Canada West standings. UBC is still in top spot, but their cushion is now cut down to 3 points. Both sides will have everything to play for as they enter the final half of the season. UBC visits Calgary this week before renewing pleasantries with the Vikes in Victoria over the Thanksgiving weekend. Finally, coming up this week on CITR Sports Friday, it's the returns of women's hockey here on 101.9 FM. UBC begins the 08-09 season with 14 new names on their roster, a new coach, all of whom looking to put the Thunderbirds back in the playoffs after falling out of the picture late last season. Our pregame show for that, Marie, begins at 7 o'clock Friday night. First CIS hockey game to be played at the new rink, which is now the envy of university hockey teams right across the country.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tyler. And now with the week's weather forecast, here's Alice Wong.
Thanks, Marie. Here's your forecast for September 30th to October 3rd. The weather's looking great today, even though we are already in the second week of fall. We'll get lots of sunshine and mild temperatures for most of the week, thanks to that ridge of high pressure sitting over Western Canada. Monday evening to the overnight, it will be clear with a low of 12 degrees. Tuesday, sunny with a high of 19 by the water, could reach 26 degrees further inland. Wednesday, we'll see a bit more cloud moving in, so expect cloudy periods and a cooler daytime high of 16. Changes on the way for Thursday, it will be overcast in the morning with a high of 18. We'll see some rain start to move in by Thursday afternoon. Steady rain will continue to fall throughout Friday, and temperatures will be a brisk 14 degrees. Currently, it's 18 degrees and sunny at YVR. That's your weather for this week, brought to you by the Storm Club of UBC. For News 101, I'm Alice Huang.
And that's our program for Monday, September 29th, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. Carrie Baptist produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. I'm Marie Bernard from the entire news team at CITR. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Track coming up next on 101.9 FM CITR.
Meet the Filmmakers, 29th of September to the 10th of October, 2008. In its 14th year at the Vancouver International Film Festival, Meet the Filmmakers is about the realization of ideas and the revelation of process. These informal and insightful panel discussions with filmmakers attending the festival provide a rare opportunity for the festival audience to engage in meaningful dialogue with the creative visionaries of modern cinema. salons are free. Just bring your love of film and prepare to be inspired.
In conjunction with the Vancouver International Film Festival, Meet the Filmmakers is made possible by the collective efforts of Cineworks Independent Filmmaker Society, Documentaries Organization of Canada BC Chapter, Praxis Center for Screenwriters, and all of our fabulous volunteers. Detailed information about the salons can be found at www.cineworks.ca.
Hey, are you ready to head back to school in September?
For sure, but I'm worried that I won't be able to cover all my costs this year.
Have you ever done work study? I did it in the past, and it was a great experience and good money. You just need to be a Canadian citizen or a permanent resident.
And studying at UBC?
You got it. If you want to earn decent coin, pad your resume, and work on campus, work study is where the smart money's at. Just go online to Career Services and check out the listings.
That's solid advice. I'll definitely check out work study this year.
For more information on getting hired for a work-study job, visit www.students.ubc.ca slash